Good morning. It's April 29th and this is your daily brief in Australian news. Here's everything you need to know. Over the weekend, a wave of collective action swept through Australia as thousands took to the streets, rallying against violence toward women. This surge of activism caught the attention of the highest levels of government, with Prime Minister Anthony Albanese stepping forward to address the protesters in Canberra, marking a pivotal moment in the nation's call for change. The backdrop to these rallies is a nation grappling with how to effectively combat violence against women. With the federal budget announcement looming, there's a palpable pressure on the government to translate public outcry into tangible policy actions. Finance Minister Katie Gallagher has echoed this sentiment, emphasising the urgent need for policy measures and cultural shifts that promise more than just temporary fixes. Central to the government's response is a snap national cabinet meeting convened to hash out strategies for women's safety and to explore new prevention measures. This meeting underscores a commitment to not just review, but to actively enhance the protection of women, both in public spaces and online. The review of the Online Safety Act, aimed at stiffening penalties and safeguarding children's online activities, is a testament to the multifaceted approach the government is taking. Despite the existence of a 10-year plan aimed at eradicating violence against women, voices across the nation are calling for accelerated progress and a critical evaluation of the effectiveness of current interventions. The rise of violent misogyny online, highlighted by Environment Minister Tanya Plibersek, adds another layer of complexity to the challenge, signalling a shift in how violence manifests and is perpetuated. As Australia stands at this crossroads, the presence of Prime Minister Albanese and senior ministers at rallies sends a strong message of solidarity and recognition of the urgency of the issue. The government's openness to adopting new prevention measures reflects a broader acknowledgement. The need for change is immediate, and the path forward must be carved with decisive and impactful actions. In a bold move to bridge the gender pay gap, the Australian Council of Trade Unions, or ACTU, is advocating for a significant pay rise for workers in female-dominated industries. This proposal, part of the annual wage review, aims to address long-standing inequalities in the workforce. The ACTU is pushing for a universal 5% wage increase across all awards, with an additional 4% specifically for occupations historically undervalued due to gender biases. This could translate to a significant $90 weekly boost for full-time workers in critical sectors such as aged care and early childhood education, areas that have been perennially undervalued in terms of compensation. This initiative is not just about pay. It's about recognising the value of work in sectors like health support and disability home care. The ACTU's submission to the Fair Work Commission underscores the imperative of equal pay for equal work, especially in industries where women predominate. The outcome of the annual wage review will have far-reaching implications, affecting 2.9 million workers who rely on minimum and award wages. Contrary to concerns, recent studies bolster the ACTU's position, suggesting that increasing pay for the lowest paid workers is unlikely to have a detrimental effect on inflation. Moreover, the Fair Work Commission's efforts to foster gender equality through systemic changes and targeted pay rises reflect a broader commitment to rectifying pay disparities in feminised industries. This approach aims not only to uplift workers financially, but also to advance gender equality in the Australian workforce. In a devastating turn of events in Perth South, a community is in mourning and a conversation about violence against women in Australia is reignited. A 35-year-old man stands accused of a heinous act that ended the life of 30-year-old Erica Hay, a mother of four, in a tragedy that has left friends, family, and the nation grappling with its implications. Erica Hay's life was brutally cut short when the man she shared a home with allegedly assaulted her and then set the house on fire. The aftermath of this violent act was grim, with Hay's body discovered in the rear bedroom of the charred remains of their home. In a heart-wrenching twist, Hay's 3-year-old child was also caught in the blaze, suffering from smoke inhalation and subsequently hospitalized. The accused, hailing from South Kalgoorlie, faces serious charges including murder and criminal damage by fire. His upcoming court appearance is awaited with both dread and anticipation as the community seeks justice for Hay. This incident has not only brought to light the personal tragedy of Hay and her family, but also underscored the broader issue of violence against women in Australia. Friends of Erica Hay have come forward to honour her memory, describing her as a beautiful and caring woman whose goofy personality and infectious smile and laugh will be sorely missed. As this story unfolds, it serves as a stark reminder of the devastating impact of violence, leaving a community to mourn and reflect on how to better protect and honour the lives of all women. In a turn of events that has caught the eye of both sports enthusiasts and the general public, rugby league journalist Paul Kent finds himself at the centre of controversy following an alleged street fight outside a Sydney restaurant. This incident has not only gone viral, but has also led to serious repercussions for Kent's career. The altercation, captured on video and widely circulated online, has prompted Fox Sports to suspend Kent pending an investigation into the matter. This comes at a time when Kent had just made his return to NRL coverage after being acquitted on domestic violence charges, adding another layer of complexity to the situation. A 35-year-old man has been charged with a fray in connection with the incident. The charge stems from the alleged street fight involving Kent, highlighting the severity of the altercation. The individual involved has been granted conditional bail and is scheduled to appear in court on June 7th. Meanwhile, the police are actively investigating the circumstances surrounding the event, indicating that this story could have further developments. As of now, both Paul Kent and Fox Sports have not made any public statements regarding the incident. The silence from both parties adds an element of anticipation as to how this situation will unfold, especially considering Kent's recent legal history and his role in sports journalism. With the video of the altercation continuing to circulate, the court appearance of the charged individual, and the ongoing police investigation, the coming days are likely to provide more clarity on the ramifications of this event for all involved. In a groundbreaking legal battle, traditional owners from the Torres Strait are taking a stand against the Australian government, claiming it has failed to protect their communities from the devastating impacts of climate change. This case brings to light the very real threats posed by rising sea levels, which are not only eroding land, but also endangering a way of life that has persisted for generations. Uncle Pal Kabai and Uncle Pabai Pabai, representing their communities, argue that the government's inaction violates the Torres Strait Treaty's mandate to safeguard the people, culture, and environment of the Torres Strait. The heart of this legal challenge lies in the tangible consequences of climate change already being felt in the Torres Strait. Communities are witnessing saltwater inundation, which is leading to the loss of traditional food sources and land. Despite recognising the vulnerability of the Torres Strait to climate change, the Australian government contends that determining a duty of care in climate policy falls outside the court's purview, involving complex policy-making decisions. The Grata Foundation supports the traditional owners, emphasising the significance of the Torres Strait Treaty in this legal battle. They argue that Australia's obligations under this treaty, coupled with its commitments to the Paris Agreement, should drive more aggressive climate action. The government, however, maintains that climate change is a global issue requiring international cooperation, and highlights Australia's comparatively small contribution to global emissions. This case underscores a critical debate: the balance between national responsibility and global action in addressing climate change. The traditional owners stress that Australia, as one of the world's highest per capita emitters, must take meaningful steps towards emissions reduction. For them, this legal fight is about preserving their homes, culture, and identity against the existential threat of climate change. This has been your Daily Brief in Australia News. To read more about these stories, follow the links here in the episode bio. You can also subscribe to these updates via email at www.brief.news. For more daily podcasts about the topics you love, visit brief.news/podcasts. Tune in tomorrow. We'll be back with everything you need to know.